Jesus' name, amen. Jonah, bring our reading now. Thank you, Jonah.
Right, our reading this morning is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. Now, this is on page 1111, if you're using the Bibles, and 1720, if you're using the larger ones. Part of it is on the front of your notices sheet, and it will be on screen. So, Acts chapter 16. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him, and Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. So he circumcised him, because the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they travelled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony and leading city of that district of Macedonia. We stayed there for several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down. We began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the Spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up. When he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with this order: "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we were Roman citizens, threw us into prison. And now do they want us to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and encouraged them. Then they left. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord Jesus, speak to us today that we may hear from you and go from this place different. Amen. Quite a lot in that to cover. It's very hard to give any of it justice. But today is Give Day, so I'm going to talk about giving as well through that. And there is a sort of theme all the way through it that I could kind of pick up on there. We're going to continue. We continue to look at what church is. We've spent quite a few weeks on that now, so I really do hope we're catching on here. But we need to explore a bit of how the church should give as well today, because that's what we're looking at. We give of ourselves, don't we? We should give of ourselves when we become Christians. And our attitude through the Spirit should change in that we serve with our life and all that we have. When you finally get Jesus and you realize just how much he's given for you, don't you want to give your life? Don't you want to live differently? Don't you want to just say, "I'm passionate for Jesus. I want to show it in the way I give and who I am." And you know, it's not wrong to have, by the way. What is wrong is our attitude to it sometimes. That's the issue. It's not wrong to have things. It's not wrong to. It's just we have to deal with our attitude in it. And this is not just about how we give to God's work financially. Can I just say that now as well? It's about how we are generous we are with each other. How generous are we with each other? You know, we want to really see, when we're talking about giving financially, we want to bless people who sit here as well. Bless people in our communities. Bless people who are around us in lots of ways. But it's also about how we give our time, isn't it? Where do we give our time? How do we extend grace to people? Who are we? Are we generous people? This is about being generous. To build the kingdom, though, we do need money as well. So we have a Give Day. We want to employ people to do ministry that we need. We employ Jackie and Bryony and other people. It's great, isn't it, to see these workers. And we can do more when we have paid workers. So that makes a big difference. I'd love to see us employ more people. It'd be great to employ more people to do kingdom work, even more than what we do it now. Wouldn't it be great to see that? So they can dedicate their time fully to making a difference and to building the kingdom. I'd love for us to be doing more outreach and mission, to be able to bless the community for free so that they know that we love them. And ultimately, that God sees them and loves them as well. To be able to give in our community to those who are in need. To be involved more. That's what it's about, isn't it? Doing the kingdom work together. I'd love to see us not only give, but to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we have faith for bigger things even. Much bigger things. So, question, what are you giving to? What are you giving to? What are you giving your time to? What are you giving your time to? Your money to? Your heart to? Where is your passion? Where is your passion? Because if we believe in something, we will invest in it, don't we? We invest in it in every way. So we have this scripture here. The scripture starts in Acts 16. And it starts with giving and investing in a young leader. Timothy. Timothy is being invested in. He's given himself to the ministry. He's given himself to the kingdom. He's of mixed race. He's not circumcised, but he's a Jew through his mother's line. So he's circumcised. So that it confirms that he is a Jew. It says that actually I'm not against the covenant of old. That's why he was circumcised. If Timothy had been deemed a Gentile, that wouldn't have been necessary. But that's why he was. And Timothy, it says, goes along with Paul. He gives himself to the work of God. And Paul invests in him, raising him up to be a new leader. Investing in him. Something I have a heart for, personally, is raising up the gifts in people. I have a heart to raise up the gifts sitting here. You know, I always say, God called me to enable. It's never about what I give. It's about what everyone else has in them. And God gave me a call to enable others. Enable leadership gifts, other gifts, so that we can be the best we can be for Jesus. Don't we all want to be the best we can for Jesus? Paul and Timothy in this scripture share the message, it says. They go keep going around sharing the message, don't they? And I love the fact there's always growth in numbers as well. There is growth in faith, and there's growth in numbers. As we grow, as we are enabled, as we use the stuff God has given us, as we invest, growth happens. And it's not about me, it's about all of us together. And these guys, do you know what? They go wherever they are called to go. They go where the Holy Spirit directs them. They don't hold back from doing the work of God. In Acts 16:5 onwards, we have some really key scriptures. They're key because they're about direction. And they say an awful lot about direction, about investing in seeking the Holy Spirit. Do you invest in God, seeking him, in his presence? I talk a lot about ministering from the presence of God. Your doing comes out of your being, not the other way around. But investing in the Holy Spirit, they invested in the Holy Spirit. They learned how the Spirit speaks to them. It's essential we know what God is saying. It's essential we know what God wants us to invest in, so we invest in the right things. We call on the Spirit to live in us and give our time to that relationship. We grow, and we grow in our generosity. We grow in how we are blessed because we are walking in God's will. These men spent time in the presence. They knew the presence of God. How do I know that? Because it says the Holy Spirit kept them from preaching the gospel. They were listening and responding to God's will. They knew God's will. They sensed God's will. They were in the presence of God. They knew it. They had a relationship with the living God. They knew how Jesus spoke to them. And there's a wonderful statement there that talks about, doesn't it, the Spirit of Jesus. And stated there, it could very much suggest that they'd actually had a vision of the Lord at that point. And they were directed by him. And then we're told how the Spirit speaks to Paul to give him direction. He has this wonderful vision, doesn't he? In this case, he knows that they have to go to Macedonia and preach. Directed again. Coming out of their being with God. Because they're investing in what God wants them to invest in. They are then directed. Do you know, I'd love to see that when our prayer meetings are the thing that really is the most attended meetings, because when we pray together and seek the presence of God, we are directed and we hear from him. It's important to learn how God speaks to us. Only spending time with him will we know it. And yes, God speaks to us through dreams, visions, gut feelings, just knowing. And it will always be something good God talks to us about, you know. And it's always in line with Scripture. There are tests, yes. But God speaks to us today. I can remember when I was moving to Whitby a long time ago. Many people thought I'd gone mad. Whitby? It's right on the edge of nowhere and all the rest of it. And I can remember so many people thinking it was a really bad idea. It's a terrible idea, Laura. Why on earth would you go to Whitby, you know? Good question, but anyway. But actually, you know, they kept telling me it was a bad idea because there's lots of reasons it wasn't a good idea in some ways. But the more I prayed about it and spent time with Jesus, the more I just had this real sense of peace. I just knew it was the right thing. I knew it was the right thing. And actually, it was the right thing. It was very much the right thing for that time. But because I had the sense of peace and I knew the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, I knew God's voice in it, I did it. Even though some people said it's not a good idea. Sometimes we will do the opposite to what seems a good idea to others. But it's God's will. I've come to recognize that I have peace about the right things when they're right, when I'm spending time with God. I've come to realize. Yes, God sometimes gives the word, a dream, a vision. But sometimes we just know because we are so in tune with him. We know. Come in here. I just knew how to apply. There's a few nudgings, but actually, I just knew it was the right thing. I knew there was something right about it. I felt peace, and I feel called here, by the way. It's not just that I'm here. I'm not here because I just wanted a new job. I came here because I feel called to be here. I had a sense of peace that this was the right thing, and I had to trust that. And here we have these wonderful men, don't we, continuing on their journey in this scripture. And they continue, don't they, to give themselves to others to see the kingdom grow. They are generous. And we come to the conversion of Lydia. Great lady, Lydia, isn't she? A generous woman. Wealthy lady. We know that because she was a dealer in purple cloth, a businesswoman. She has property. She receives Jesus. She finds that she has to invest in the work of Jesus then. She is described here, of course, as a worshipper of God. Worshipper of God, suggesting that she is a Gentile who was interested very much in the Jewish God. And she finds the truth, Jesus. But she's led there by Paul and his companions. You've got to ask yourself, would she have found Jesus if she wasn't led there by them? Without them, would she have ever heard? We don't know. It's just a question. But would her life have been changed in that way if she'd never met them? God has a way of reaching people. Yes, people just know God sometimes. He reveals himself. But he also chooses to use us to do it. What a privilege we have to be used to do God's kingdom work. They were used to bring her faith. Used to do that. All of us, part of kingdom's work. All of us, part of the kingdom work here in New Barnet. Who is God using here in this place to bring others to faith? Is he using you? If not, do we need to seek God on that more and say, actually, how can I give generously in every way in my life? Are you investing? Lydia is generous. She has received much and she gives much. She even opens her home to them. And there's a suggestion in the commentaries that she's a single free woman. And she just gives everything she has. I love the fact that they also, if you notice, they were going to a place of prayer and they found Lydia. Going to a place of prayer. They're going to pray and they find Lydia. The next time they're finding a place of prayer, they find a slave girl. Do you know, when we engage in the presence of God, when we engage in prayer, we can expect to have encounters with people who need to encounter Jesus. We need to open ourselves up and look around us and see who is around, who needs to encounter Jesus. Who is there around that you could make a difference to through your life, through who you are? And of course, the slave girl here has a spirit of divination. She's predicting the future. Can I just say, we are warned about messing with spiritual stuff. It horrifies me. The amount of times I'm in Christian circles and I hear that people are messing with all sorts of stuff, thinking it's okay. It's not. We mustn't get involved with stuff that is not Christ-centered. We either belong to the dark or you belong to the light. You can't mix things. Reading your stars, palm reading, seeking spiritualists, even if they've got Christian spiritualist written on it, it's not Christian. Spiritualist. It's not on. Other occult. Occult, the actual word occult, it means hidden. It means hidden. It looks like one thing, but it's something else. Occult behavior is against God. We should only seek the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit through Jesus Christ. Here, of course, we have this example. You can't mix it. So if you're doing that, talk to me by all means. Or, you know, if you know someone that is, warn them. It's dangerous. We can't mix it. And here is the slave here shouting at Paul. Even the demons know who Jesus is. Even the demons. She claims that these are servants of God, these men. They know how to be saved. It's a wonderful vision, isn't it? They know where to get eternal life and hope. And what do? They pray for her. They see her delivered from the spirit, freed from it. And of course, the owners aren't very happy, are they? They do something and not very happy about this. Why are they not very happy? They're not impressed because she can no longer see the future and raise money for them. And once again, what do we see happens? Paul and Silas, once again, pay a price for the gospel. They're always paying a price, aren't they, for preaching the word. Oh, I'm having a hard time. But, you know, they get flogged for it. They pay a price. Once again, they are seized, they are stripped, they are beaten. It wasn't a good thing. It wasn't fun. They give for the gospel. They are passionate for what they believe in. What happens, though? What happens when they give it all? What happens when they are generous with who they are? When they actually really put it out there for Jesus? When they suffer and stand and suffer and stand, what happens? They receive again, don't they? They witness their joy in the darkness. Sometimes we have to just stand in the darkness and still sing and still proclaim Jesus. And they even give grace. When they could have escaped, they don't. What does that lead to? That leads to the jailer finding faith. Wonderful. Wonderful. They give it all, and God blesses them. They're released, of course, the next morning. And they are Roman citizens. They should, by the way, have never been seized. It was against the law to flog and put them in prison. And that would have caused a real alarm. So there's all this stuff going on around. They could probably have caused an awful lot more trouble than they did. But actually, first and foremost, it wasn't about them, was it? What they want to do is preach the gospel. What they want to do is share Jesus. What they want to do is kingdom work. Kingdom work is more important than their own souls, salvation, their own lives. Everything is more important. Nothing is more important than Jesus to them. Nothing is more important than Jesus to them. Nothing is more important than preaching Jesus. Even their own lives. Together they serve. Together they preach. Together they do kingdom work. Together they share all they have. All they have for the kingdom work. They belong to Jesus. All they have belongs to the kingdom. So can we say that, I wonder, of our lives and who we are? Today is Gift Sunday. We are all called to do the kingdom work. All of us. All of us are called to kingdom work. And as we give, we received, you know, in so many ways. If you can give, give. Give money to help develop the ministry here. When I say that, though, that is us together. We build together. We build the mission together, the vision together. You're not giving to something separate from yourself. You're giving to actually build the ministry here in Barnet. We together will decide how that looks, where it will go. We will invest in the kingdom work because Jesus invested in us. We will preach the gospel. We want to share the message and see many come to faith. But not only that, think about how you give your time to Jesus. And this isn't a guilt trip, by the way, because I know so many of you give so much already, and that's not what it's about. Even reassessing where you put your time. Is it in the right things? Where's your passion? What are you passionate for in the kingdom? What God's work are you passionate about? How can you use your time better? And investing in that time and presence of God, being with him, it's important we invest in that as well. How do you give and live life as a disciple? How do I? How do we do it better? Sometimes we lay things down to pick other things up and we achieve more because we're listening to the presence of God. Sometimes it's the widow's mite, isn't it, given that small amount, but actually it means the world to us. Where's my heart in this? How do I give to the kingdom? So I want to encourage you this month, November, give to November, to really think about giving and investing. And what you give and invest in. Give in the right things, not the wrong things. Invest in the right things, not the wrong things. Preach Jesus with your life and your words. Live Jesus. Be like Jesus. Be his people, and we will make a difference here. As we invest in this community, in each other, we will make a difference because the Holy Spirit is with us when we're in his will. And kingdom work is his will. So pray, think, take time. There's opportunity when we give the offering later to give as in your envelopes, you can just put them in at the same time. I hope you prayed about that. But you've got all November to think about that, whether it's financial. But actually, if it's other ways as well, if it's how you're using your time, if it's stuff that you could offer that you've not thought of, if it's getting involved with the prayer ministry, and I would like to go out on those streets sometime, by the way, guys. Would you like to come out with me? Pray for people? Should we do this, you know? If it is, good. Yay, got some yes. If it's that stuff, and it's not for everyone, don't get me wrong, but if there's ones that, let's do it. If there's other ways you can invest, let's do it. Amen.